Acts chapter number 28 is where we are tonight, Acts 28 verse 11, and we are going to try to work our way through verse 16. So Paul spends 3 months on the island of Malta, and while he's there for the 3 months, he has been healing people who have come that are sick. And he has been preaching Christ, and it is believed historically that Paul, when Paul leaves, the beginnings of the church at Malta were in place on this island. As Paul leaves, Acts 28:10 says that the people of Malta honored them with many honors, and when Paul departed, they provided them with everything necessary for the furtherance of their trip toward Rome. And if you want to put in your Bibles a timestamp of where we are in Acts 28:11, we're probably in the spring of 61 A.D. Spring of 61 A.D. I was thinking how different chapter 28 is from chapter 27. Chapter 27, you remember, was filled with all kinds of difficulty and darkness, danger, distress, disappointment, destruction, discouragement, and despair. And there are chapters in our lives that are filled with those things. There are times that we have days and weeks and months, maybe years of darkness and difficulty and danger and distress. Many chapters in our lives are filled with the very thing that these men experienced in chapter 27, the storms of life. But not all chapters in our life are like that. There are times when we are able to bathe in the blessings of God. Not all of life is hard. Much of it is, but not all of it is. And not all of our life is filled with pain and tears. Some of it is, much of it is, but not all of it. And I thank God that life is not all chapter 27. Some of it is, but I'm glad that at least some of our lives is like chapter 27. Eight. And we do have chapters in our lives that coincide with what Paul is experiencing in chapter 28. So let's look here at the text and let's learn what God has for us here. And after 3 months, we departed from Malta in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign or insignia was Castor and Pollux. Now, wouldn't you know it, but there happens to be, just so happens to be, a ship that has been wintering in Malta that is the same type of ship that they lost on the rocks of Malta. It's a grain ship from Alexandria. And wouldn't you know, it's heading toward Rome. Isn't that a coincidence? There's a detail here that is given to us by Luke as he's carried along by the Spirit of God. He says the ship that they get on has an insignia of Castor and Pollux. Castor and Pollux are the names of, it comes from Greek mythology. They are the twin sons of Zeus. And they were believed to be, by pagans, they were believed to be the gods over the sea. And if you had their insignia or you had their presence with you through idolatry, then they would be protective of the ship. Now, why is this detail given to us by Luke? And I have to be honest with you, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. Maybe, I have a guess, but maybe, so that details like this would give more credence to Luke's eyewitness account. Or, I think it is probable that Luke may be trying to be humorous here in a sarcastic way. Certainly, we know, Luke knows, that their security had everything to do with the grace of God and nothing to do with the whims of pagan gods. Their faith was in Jehovah God, not make-believe Greek gods. So there may be a bit of sarcasm here that they got on this boat that is believed to have these twin sons of Zeus protecting them, when the protector of them will only be God Almighty. Look at verse number 12. And landing at Syracuse, not Syracuse, New York, Syracuse, Sicily. Landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. So, let me show you this on the map. We're over here. Here's Malta. Here. They sail northward this direction up to Syracuse in Sicily. And you'll notice that according to the Word of God, this trip from Malta to Syracuse is pretty uneventful. There's nothing here that is worthy of recording, of notice. No contrary winds, no storms, no clouds to hide the stars at night. This is just a very normal, uneventful voyage northward. And I don't know about you, but if I'm those men who had just been shipwrecked on Malta, I would have welcomed a uneventful trip on the sea. This stop in Syracuse seemed to be a stop for this particular ship to load and unload cargo and to deliver grain to them from Egypt. So Paul says that they stayed here in Syracuse for 3 days. Verse 13. And from thence, from Syracuse, we fetched a compass, and we came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Putia. Now, Putia is Italy's main port. Here's Rhegium, and up here is Putia. It's Italy's main port. As you can see, it sits around 150 miles south of Rome. So when Paul gets here to Putia, he's 150 miles from Rome. Again, it's an uneventful journey. There was a south wind that came up and blew and enabled them to travel quickly and safely and easily to Putia. Can I remind you of something at this point? We know that there are times when we are going to have to face difficult times, storms and troubles and trials and sorrows and sufferings. And during those times, we are keenly aware that we need the Lord's help. And it is those times where we are going through very hard times that we feel the need to constantly be in communication in prayer with God. But just as true, when we are in times of ease and when we are in times of safety and when we are in times of lack of trouble and we are in times of blessing, should we not be just as constantly in prayer? Should we not be in thanksgiving to God? In gratitude for the blessings of the ease of life and the safety of life and the lack of trouble that we are experiencing currently in life. We should be just as prayerful in good times as bad times because we have something to deal with God about in both times. It is a good thing when we have days of no trouble. It's a good thing. When we have good days, no troubles, it's a good day. When we have no conflicts, it's a good day. When we have nothing to make us sorrowful. So don't take those days for granted, because they are gifts from God. They are gifts from the hand of a good God. So thank Him and praise Him for every one of them. Don't be guilty of regulating prayer to only being done in times of trouble. Prayer should be done when your hearts are broken, and prayer should be done when your hearts are full of joy. Prayer is to be unceasing. It is an unceasing reality in the life of the believer. There's always something to seek God's strength for, or there's always something to be thankful to God for. Do you ever stop and thank God for things that haven't happened? Because as you traveled to church tonight, there was probably somebody in the world, in the United States, who was involved in a car accident, and you weren't. And we came in without any thought of the safety that God provided for us to get to church tonight, when we should thank God for the ease and the safety of getting here. We have a security team. And Frank, I know I was supposed to let you talk Sunday night, and I forgot all about it and thought about it today. So part of the security team is that you've got to remind the preacher what he's supposed to be doing. We have a security team here at the church, headed up by Frank, and good men. They are prepared to take action for the safety of the people in this church in case something happens. But my question is, do we ever express our gratitude to God that today nothing happened? Do we ever thank God that the security team that we have in place simply wasn't needed today? I thank God they're not needed. Say amen. See, we have to understand that we need to thank God during times in which there is ease and comfort and blessing. We all travel to church tonight. We all travel back home tonight. And most every time we do that, we arrive here and home safely. We do that week after week. And we never thank God for the blessing of the safety that He gives us. And I will be the first to admit that I am amazed and I am ashamed of how much God does for me that I simply take for granted. Verse 14. Where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. So, Pamphylia, they're traveling to Rome by foot this direction. And they get here. And believers from Rome travel down to meet with Paul at Appii Forum and Three Taverns, two towns that are in the middle of Pamphylian Rome. So, there's a church at Pamphylia. There are fellow brethren at Pamphylia. And Paul finds them, finds brothers and sisters in Christ in which they have mutual affections toward one another. And this is what they do, right? This is what brethren do. They fellowship with one another. They tarry with one another. They fellowship. They enjoy one another. And these from Petili, they desire that Paul would stay with them, that their fellowship would continue. And Paul says that they stayed there 7 days before they went toward Rome. Can you see the mutual blessing here? Imagine you're in church, the Lord's Day, and going through the motions, and there's the preacher getting ready to deliver his message, and the Apostle Paul walks in. And you know the message that morning is going to be good. And imagine the joy in Paul's heart to meet fellow believers who love Christ, who serve Christ, who are eager to hear the word of Christ. And again, this fellowship between these believers at Pamphylia is so good, such a blessing that it lasts 7 days. It was church all week long. Can I say something here as well? It seems to me that we've sort of lost this in church today, where hearts and homes are opened to Christian fellowship. We need to work on that, I think. We're good. We're pretty good at it, but we need to work on that because we are commanded in Scripture to use hospitality one to another without grudging, without complaining. We are to share with the Lord's people who are in need. We are to practice hospitality is what the Bible commands for us. There is something about an open home that evidences an open heart. And when we are hospitable, when we share our things with others, it shows that we believe nothing really belongs to us, that it all belongs to God. And I'm afraid that we may be missing out on a tremendous blessing of God when we could have this blessing if we would just invite folks over and have a cup of coffee, have a dessert, or have a meal together. And we would get a blessing in doing it, and we would get a blessing in having it done for us. So just a sort of a thought there that we need to sort of work on our hospitality toward one another and fellowshipping with one another even outside of the normal church atmosphere. Verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, now these are the believers that were coming down from Rome. They came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Caverns, who when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Here's another blessing. The blessing of ease and comfort in the journey, a blessing of meeting believers there, and now a blessing of believers coming down and meeting with him as he moves toward Rome. So word has traveled fast. Paul is in Italy. It reaches those who are in Rome, so they don't wait for Paul to get there. They travel 43 miles from Rome down to Appii and Three Caverns to meet with Paul as he makes his way toward Rome. They travel 2 days. 2 days on foot to meet with Paul. You know why? They want to be with Paul. They want to walk back to Rome with Paul. They want to show their support for Paul. And Luke records here that Paul, when he saw them, he thanked God for them, and their presence with him caused him to take courage. Their kindness, this small, insignificant action, what they did traveling 43 miles to meet with Paul, this little insignificant action caused Paul to glory in the Lord and to be encouraged. And can I say something? I don't know of two things that we are more designed to do as believers than to cause someone to glory in the Lord and cause someone to be encouraged. And you just never know what small, insignificant thing that you might be able to do that would encourage those whom you are serving. Doesn't have to be a big thing. Paul was encouraged, and Paul is thanking God. God is being glorified, and Paul is encouraged. The two greatest things I can think we can do in our lives. If they could put that on your tombstone, he caused people to glory in the Lord and encouraged others. Wouldn't that be good? So, what a blessing it is to be used by God to lift the spirits of those who need encouragement. And you know that you have had times in your life when you needed your spirit lifted in encouragement. Right? And when you needed encouraging, wasn't it a blessing that you got a text? Someone encouraged you with a text or a call or a card came in the mail or a visit. Oh, that God would forgive us for being so selfish with our time, so selfish with our efforts, so selfish with our resources, so selfish in all that we think about is ours and ours, and we don't think about others. Plus, I think, it is encouraging for Paul to find some people that love him and seem to be with him. Because it seems, I think, to Paul, that everything he has done for the Lord has caused people to reject him and hate him. And it is good when people come beside you. It is good to know that people love you and care for you and come to you, can't wait for you to get to them, so they come to you. Paul is encouraged, and in his encouraging, he glorifies God for it. Verse 16. And when we came to Rome, there's the phrase. Finally. It's been a while. And when we came to Rome, the centurion, Julius, delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but not Paul. There's another blessing. Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Now, don't forget that Paul is a prisoner, right? He's coming to Rome on his own request. He has a legal case to be heard as a Roman citizen, but the Jews in Jerusalem want him dead, so he has appealed his case to be heard in Rome, but he is a prisoner. But he is a blessed prisoner. Even though we might have to endure very unpleasant situations in our life, God still helps us. God still blesses us so that we may endure them in blessedness. Paul is going to be held in private quarters. Not with other prisoners. And his conditions will be far better than what they would be if he was with the general population of the prisoners. In fact, if you'll go down to verse number 30, we'll get there, but we'll mention it tonight. Luke tells us that Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Do you know where they kept prisoner Paul? In an apartment. Say amen. And he had freedom to receive visitors at any time. Plus, God gave him an audience to share Christ with, because there was a guard with him at all times that he could preach Christ to. But do you know the biggest blessing here? It's in this first phrase. Here's the biggest blessing. He's had safety. He's found other believers. Other believers have come and supported him. Yes? He's got his own place, not with the other prisoners. But the greatest blessing of all is in these words: when we came to Rome. This is the blessing that Paul knows is God is sovereignly in control of everything. It is a blessing. It is the blessing of the assurance that what God says, what God promises, what God decrees will come and must come to pass. And there is nothing and there is no one who can deter it, delay it, or deny it. And man, there's a lot of things that have tried to stop Paul from getting to Rome, and God has overcome every single one of them. And here he is, just as God had promised. Paul was invincible until God's promise was fulfilled. God promised that Paul would arrive in Rome, and everything, listen to me, everything that has happened is working together by God's power and God's plan. Working together, the stormy things and the non-stormy things are all working together for Paul's good and for God's glory. And what Paul begins to realize here is that when God promised he would go to Rome, every single road that he took led to Rome. Every road led to Rome, because that's where God promised he would go. Every road that Paul may have thought was bad, every road that Paul may have thought was a dead end, every road that Paul may have thought was going the wrong direction, every road, everything working together, leading Paul to Rome. Oh, it is a sovereign God. And this arrival at Rome fulfills a personal desire of Paul. He wanted to go to Spain, but on the way to Spain, he wanted to come to Rome to be with the believers there and to preach the gospel to the capital Roman city. It was a personal desire of Paul's, and God has graciously granted him this desire. Look at Romans 1:9 with me, and we'll be done. Romans comes next in our Bibles. But what you know, because you've been in Wednesday night, you know that Paul wrote the book of Romans 3 years earlier. Romans 1, verse 9, this is what Paul said 3 years earlier. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you, Romans, church at Rome, always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I pursued to come to you, but was let hitherto, that I may have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Listen, Rome was a desire of Paul's heart. And God granted his desire. Do you know why? Do you know why God granted his desire? Because it was God's will. Paul's desire was also God's will. Say amen. All our desires do not come to pass. Say amen. If they do come to pass, they're God's will. If our desires don't come to pass, then we are sure that it's not God's will. But if our desires coincide with God's desire, it will come to be. Now, it did not happen as Paul might have imagined it to happen. But God did grant his personal desire because it was also the will of God that Paul be in Rome. And I think this desire of Paul to go into Rome, this desire was planted in Paul's heart by God. And that is proven by his arrival in Rome. When we came to Rome. So those are all of the blessings that come Paul's way from the island of Malta to his coming to Rome. Ease in the journey. Safety in the journey. Believers to fellowship with. Believers who will support you. Imprisoned in good conditions and finally coming to Rome, just as God had promised. And again, I would say this as I close. These are the blessings of God that we might overlook and take for granted, but things that we should recognize and we should be thankful for and we should be praising God for. So when you get home tonight, you lay your head on the pillow. Don't forget to thank God, because every step of the way today, He protected you. While you were on the highways, He protected you. While you were here, He protected your home and didn't let it become gone, or something gone in it. Don't take anything for granted, because those are the blessings of God on our life. Don't just deal with God in troubled times. No, deal with God in blessed times. Praise His name. God, we thank You for Your word, and we pray that You'd forgive us where we have so been so negligent in thanking You for Your blessings. We seem to be so caught up in things that we miss them. God, help us to be more mindful. Help us to be more perceptive of the things that You do for us, the things that You provide for us, the things that You keep away from us. God, help us to always be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer, not just coming to You when we need Your help, but praising You for Your goodness and Your kindness to us. We're thankful for all that You do, and we love You for it. We praise Your name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. All right, let's stand. We'll be dismissed.